Welcome to the Baird Group Restructuring Review for August 2011, brought to you by the editors of the Troubled Company Reporter and Troubled Company Prospector. In this month's Corporate Restructuring Review, we'll discuss five topics. First, last month's largest Chapter 11 filings and other statistics. Second, large Chapter 11 filings TCR editors anticipate in the near term. Third, a quick review of the major pending disputes in Chapter 11 cases that we monitor day by day. And fourth, reminders about debtors whose emergence from Chapter 11 has been delayed. And fifth, information you're unlikely to find elsewhere about new publicly traded securities being issued by Chapter 11 debtors. Now, let's review the largest Chapter 11 cases in August 2011. Danilo Munoz reports that the number of Chapter 11 cases with assets in excess of $100 million increased to 5 in August compared to only 3 in July, or an increase of about 40%. No billion-dollar cases were filed, however. For the first 8 months of 2011, there were a total of 48 companies with assets of at least $100 million that filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, or an average of 6 mega cases per month. Though the same period last year, there were a total of 71 mega cases. For fiscal year 2010, there were a mega total of 105 mega cases for an average of about 9 per month. Through August 31, 2011, two companies with assets in excess of $1 billion filed for Chapter 11 protection, Borders Group and MSR Resort Golf Course, both which filed in February. During the first 8 months of 2010, three companies filed for Chapter 11 with assets in excess of $1 billion. Boston Generating LLC filed in August of 2010, while Innkeepers USA Trust and Protec Holdings LLC filed for Chapter 11 in July 2010. The largest Chapter 11 filing for August 2011 was by Marlboro, Mass-based Evergreen Solar Incorporated, which filed August 15th with the bankruptcy court for the District of Delaware before Judge Mary Walrath. The company's balance sheet at April 2, 2011 showed $373.97 million in assets and $455.51 million in total liabilities and a stockholders' deficit of $81.53 million. Evergreen Solar develops, manufactures, and markets string ribbon solar power products using its proprietary low-cost silicone wafer technology. The company's patented wafer manufacturing technology uses significantly less polysilicon than conventional processes. Evergreen Solar products provide reliable and environmentally clean electronic power for residential and commercial applications globally. In conjunction with Chapter 11 filing, Evergreen Solar entered into a restructuring support agreement with certain holders of more than 70% of the outstanding principal amount of the company's 13% convertible senior secured notes. As part of the bankruptcy process, the company will undertake a marketing process and will permit all the parties to bid on its assets as a whole or in groups. An entity formed by the support note holders, ES Purchaser LLC, entered into an asset purchase agreement with the company to serve as a stalking horse and provide a credit bid pursuit to the bankruptcy code for assets being sold. The second largest Chapter 11 filing was by Merced Falls Ranch LLC, which filed on August 16, 2011, with the bankruptcy court for the Eastern District of California, before Judge W. Richard Lee. Merced Falls Ranch listed total assets of $439,670,200 and total liabilities of $12,465,503. Merced Ranch owns 7,612 acres of pasture land in Merced County, California. The next largest Chapter 11 filing was by Shindaga Tech Incorporated, which sought Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in August 19th of 2011. From creditors with the bankruptcy court for the District of Nevada before Judge Bruce Beasley. Headquartered in Shanghai, China, Shindaga Tech makes nano-precipitated calcium carbonate for the tire industry. Shengda Tech converts limestone into nano-precipitated calcium carbonate using its proprietary and patent-protected technology. NPCC products are increasingly used in tires, papers, paints, building materials, and other chemical products. In addition to its broad customer base in China, the company currently exports to Singapore, Thailand, South Korea, Malaysia, India, Latvia, and Italy. Otera County Hospital Associates, Incorporated, our next case, filed for Chapter 11 protection on August 16, 2011, with the Bankruptcy Court for the District of New Mexico before Judge Robert H. Jacobitz. The company listed $124.19 million in total assets and $40.51 million in total liabilities. The Amagordo, New Mexico-based nonprofit, developed and operates the Gerald Champion Regional Medical Center, a non-for-profit 99-bed acute care facility located in Alamogordo, New Mexico. William Morgan Hay, CFO, said in his court filings that since June 2010, GCRMC, along with Quorum Health Resources LLC and a number of other defendants, has been subject to an onslaught of personal injury lawsuits stemming from the series of procedures performed at the hospital between 2006 and 2008. In total, 47 individuals who underwent such procedures have filed lawsuits. Only two physicians, one operating independently and one employed by the hospital, were involved in some manner with the lawsuits. Currently, neither of the physicians implicated in the lawsuits have any affiliation with GCRMC. Although the physicians are no longer with GCRMC, GCRMC's potential exposure in connection with the lawsuits remains and poses a significant threat to its ability to effectively carry out its mission. As a sole community health care provider in Otero County, the pendency of the lawsuits has affected GCRMC's ability to raise the funds necessary to continue to meet the current and future health care needs of the community. GCRMC disputes the claims asserted in the lawsuits, but recognizes that it faces significant uncertainty as well as administrative and financial burdens in defending the lawsuits. M. Waikiki LLC filed for Chapter 11 protection in August 31, 2011, with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Hawaii, Honolulu, before Judge Robert Ferris. The company listed estimated assets and liabilities of $100 to $500 million. M. Waikiki is a Hawaii limited liability company with its principal place of business located in San Diego, California. It is a special purpose entity, having roughly 75 indirect investors, which was formed to acquire the modern Honolulu, a 353-room luxury hotel. The filing follows a court decision granting a temporary restraining order to allow Marriott International Incorporated to resume its operation of the property. The Chapter 11 filing now allows M. Waikiki to reaffirm the termination of management agreement with Marriott and to continue to employ new management at the property. M. Waikiki had installed new management this weekend at the modern Honolulu, formerly known as the Waikiki Edition. In August 2011, there was no prepackaged Chapter 11 mega cases. For the first 8 months of 2011, 10 of the 48 mega cases involved in prepackaging Chapter 11 plan as of the petition date, or about 21% of the large Chapter 11 filings. For fiscal year 2010, a total of 35 prepackaged or prearranged cases were filed, about one in every three filings in 2010. Of the mega cases filed during the first 8 months of 2011, 9 were engaged in accommodation and food services, 7 were in manufacturing and retail trade, 6 were in information, and 5 were in real estate. Of the mega cases, 1 went to Delaware, Nevada, New Mexico, Eastern District of California, and Hawaii. For the first 8 months of 2011, 23 mega cases went to Delaware and 9 went to the Southern District of New York. The rest were distributed among various bankruptcy courts throughout the U.S. Lehman Brothers Holding Corp. remains the biggest corporate bust in history. Lehman, which filed in 2008, had $639 billion in total assets and $613 billion in total debts at the time of its filing. So far this year, largest Chapter 11 filing was the MSR Resort Golf Course LLC, which has $2.2 billion in assets and $1.9 billion in debt as of November 30, 2010. MSR Resort Golf Course and its affiliates own and operate five iconic luxury resort properties with related real estate properties and amenities. The resort, subject to the filings, are Grand Wailea Resort and Spa, Arizona Baltimore Resort and Spa, La Quinta Resort and Club and PGA West, Doral Golf Resort and Spa, and Claremont Resort and Spa. MSR and its affiliates filed for Chapter 11 protection with the Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York on February 1, 2011. Now let's turn to the topic of large Chapter 11 filings troubled company reporter editors anticipate in the near term. Carlos Fernandez compiled his list of five companies that may be close to filing for bankruptcy. These are Dingy, Lee Enterprises, Astoria Generating, Hostess Brand, and William Lyon. Moody Investors Service said early September that Dingy Holdings Incorporated deeply speculative grade ratings and negative outlook reflect the extraordinary high challenge facing the company over the next 12 to 18 months. The ratings reflect a high likelihood for default, said Moody's Senior Vice President A.J. Sabatelli, author of the report, which outlines broad strategies that Moody's believes the Dingy board and management will pursue in the wake of the last month's corporate reorganization and bank debt refinancing. While those actions lower near-term bankruptcy risk, default risk remains high and litigation risk is expected to increase, said Mr. Sabatelli of Dingy. The new board and management team appear to be pursuing a strategy to seek to enhance shareholder value at the expense of creditors. Dingy has a CAA3 corporate family rating, CA probability of default rating, and a SGL4 speculative grade liquidity rating. The road ahead for Dingy and its creditors will be quite bumpy, with the direction and outcome of events over the next 6 to 12 months remaining highly uncertain, said Mr. Sabatelli. The company will continue to struggle, even if events such as the recent credit facility restructuring provides a window of relief as short-term liquidity-based default risk may have been reduced. Moody's expects some of the distress exchange will occur at Dingy and that the payment default will occur on its Rosetone Danskammer lease. Lee Enterprise had reached agreement with a significant majority of its holders of its revolving credit term loan facilities to provide for extension of maturities to 2015 and 2017. Mary Junk, Lee's chairman and chief executive officer, said the deal will allow the company to refinance its bank debt. Lee's current credit facility will be amended and extended beyond its current maturity of April 2012 in a structure of first and second lien debt. The first lien consists of a term loan of $689.5 million, along with a $40 million revolving credit that is not expected to be drawn at closing. The second lien consists of a $175 million term loan. Carl Schmidt, Lee's vice president, chief finance officer, and treasurer, said the method for implementing the agreement is expected to be determined within the next few weeks. Mr. Schmidt said getting the support of more than 9 and allows us to turn our attention to refinancing the Pulitzer notes. Assuming successful completion of the financing, we expect to implement the transaction out of court if we can get lender support up to 95%. Otherwise, we will seek to implement the transaction through a favorable prepackaged Chapter 11 filing. The Blackstone Group is serving as Lee's financial advisor for the transaction. Lee Enterprise has 49 daily newspapers and a joint interest in four others, rapidly growing digital products and nearly 300 specialty publications in 23 states. Lee's newspapers have a circulation of 1.4 million daily and 1.7 million on Sunday, reaching nearly 4 million readers in print alone. Astoria Generating Company LP has retained a financial advisor from Perella Weinberg Partners and law firm of Kirkland & Ellis LLP to provide guidance on a potential restructuring. The step, according to the company, is necessary due to the action taken by the New York Independent System Operator, which has resulted in dramatically lowering market clearing prices for capacity of the New York Zone J Power market. Capacity pricing in July, August, and September dropped approximately 50% from the spot auction results in June as a result of government-subsidized generating projects being allowed to artificially depress prices. Unless these actions are reversed, capacity prices would drop to near zero for the upcoming fall and winter months. Astoria Generating and other market participants have filed complaints with the Federal Energy Regulation Commission seeking immediate relief and ensuring that the NYISO has in place policies to support competitive power markets. Astoria said that if the FERC does not act and the NYISO does not begin to apply the rules as they were intended, capacity pricing in New York City will continue to deteriorate to a point where year-end Astoria generating cash flow will be insufficient to cover operating expenses, including property taxes, maintenance, and capital expenditures. This outcome would leave the company with no choice but to consider a financial restructuring in the bankruptcy courts. To the CCC plus CCC minus level from its prior rating of BB minus B plus. Perella Weinberg Partners is an independent, privately owned financial services firm that provides corporate advisory assessment management services to clients around the world. Kirkland & Ellis LLP is a 1,500 attorney law firm representing clients in complex corporate taxes, restructuring, litigation, dispute, resolution, arbitration, and intellectual property and technology matters. Astoria Generating Company LP owns and operates power generation facilities with a total capacity over 200 megawatt in New York City. The Wall Street Journal, citing people familiar with the matter, said Hostess Brands Incorporated, formerly Interstate Bakeries Corp., has hired law firm Jones Day and financial services firm Perella Weinberg Partners to negotiate with creditors and attempt to rework the company's finances. Jones Day has reportedly been advising Hostess for several months why Perella was hired within the last month. The source told the Journal that no restructuring is imminent for Hostess and detailed discussions haven't been held with creditors. The sources told the Journal that Hostess has adequate cash to operate in the near term. Hostess Brand is a wholesale baker and distributor of fresh baked breads and sweet goods under national brand names including Wonder, Baker's Inn, Moretta, Hostess, and Drake's. William Lyon Homes Incorporated failed to make an interest payment on its outstanding $77.8 million 7.5% senior notes due 2014. A senior annual interest payment on the notes of $2.9 million was due August 15th. The company currently plans to make use of a 30-day grace period provided by the indenture governing in the notes. If William Lyon does not make the interest payment by September 14th, the trustees for the notes would be permitted under the terms of the indenture to accelerate the William Lyon's obligation to repay the notes by providing written notice of acceleration to William Lyon. Based in Newport Beach, California, William Lyon Home is engaged in designing, constructing, and selling single-family detached and attached homes in California, Arizona, Nevada. The company's balance sheet at March 31, 2011 showed $627.54 million in total assets against $614.71 million in total liabilities. In addition to the challenge companies mentioned in Mr. Fernandez's report, the troubled company reporter provides ongoing reporting about more than 3,000 companies experiencing financial distress or restructuring their balance sheet in a judicial proceeding. Stay tuned to learn more about obtaining a trial subscription to the TCR at no cost or obligation. Next, we'll quickly company reporter editors monitor day by day. Ivy Magdalero identifies two major disputes pending in the Lehman Brothers case. One involves Barclays Bank over alleged unpaid employee bonuses, and the other against J.P. Morgan Chase over $1 billion in claims. Lehman accuses Barclays of negotiating a discount not adequately disclosed to the court when it bought Lehman's brokerage unit in 2008. New York bankruptcy judge James Peck in February 2011 ruled that the brokerage unit sale was done in good faith. In mid-July, Judge Peck signed final orders prohibiting Lehman from recouping an alleged $11 billion in windfall in the transaction. Judge Peck also called for Barclays in a June 6th order to pay the trustee overseeing the liquidation of the remaining assets $2 billion in a dispute margin collateral account. Residual matters in the Lehman Barclays suit include appeals filed against various orders Judge Peck entered in the lawsuit, and Lehman's insistence that Barclays failed to pay promised bonuses to Lehman employees in relation to the sale. Lehman's and Barclays presented arguments on the alleged unpaid bonuses issue at a September 6th hearing. Lehman asked for the judge to force Barclays to pay it back $500 million it says were meant to go to employees. Lehman insisted that UK Bank agreed to pay $2 billion in bonuses to the employees it inherited when it acquired Lehman's brokerage operations, but paid only about $1.5 billion. Lehman said the remainder should go back to its estate for the benefit of the creditors. Barclays, for its part, said the $2 billion was only an estimate of what it would need to spend to keep the employees, and it never agreed to a hard number. It was a question of exposure, Barclays attorney Hamish Hume Esquire said at the hearing. Judge Peck has not entered into a ruling, but he seems skeptical of Lehman's argument. Judge Peck says he doesn't see how Lehman's was damaged by what the failed investment bank says is Barclays' failure to pay the employee bonuses. As to the second dispute, Lehman sued J.P. Morgan, its main clearing bank, during the 2008 crisis in May 2010 for $8.6 billion over a 2008 loan J.P. Morgan made to Lehman. Lehman said J.P. Morgan illegally siphoned from its billions of dollars as it collapsed in September of 2008. J.P. Morgan countersued Lehman, saying it has been deceived, as Lehman secured the loans by billions in worthless securities. In early August, J.P. Morgan insisted Lehman's common law claims against it should be reviewed by the U.S. District Court rather than a bankruptcy judge by virtue of the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in June in the case Stern v. Marshall, a lawsuit that involved the late Playboy model Anna Nicole Smith. In August 31st court filing, Lehman insisted that a portion of the nearly $30 billion in bankruptcy claims filed by J.P. Morgan must be sharply reduced. Lehman's argument comes as lawyers are identifying claims that can be reduced, and the company's liquidation plan has been given the go signal by the bankruptcy court for solicitation of a creditor vote. Lehman asserted J.P. Morgan used its status as a creditor of both the Lehman brokerage and the parent company together as an effort to regain as much as 100 cents on the dollar on some of its claims. Lehman also said it found instances of J.P. Morgan selling securities for commercially unreasonable prices, but those transactions are specific in court filings as J.P. Morgan is sought for confidentiality. Lehman has challenged J.P. Morgan's insistence on significant redactions in court filings due to commercially sensitive information. Lehman argued that the trades in question were made 3 years ago and not sensitive. The Lehman bankruptcy in September 2008 with $639 billion in assets was by far the largest in U.S. history and a major catalyst of the financial crisis. Ms. Magdadero also reports that in June, the trustee for the creditors' trust created under extended stay's confirmed plan of reorganization filed 5 lawsuits seeking $6.3 billion from Blackstone Group LP, which owned the hotel operator before a leveraged buyout in June of 2007. Blackstone was also in the group that bought back the hotel operator business in accordance with the Chapter 11 plan. David Lichtenstein of Lightstone Group, LLC, was also named as defendants in the lawsuit. Blackstone seeks the consolidation of the lawsuit against it. Litigation trustee Hobart Truesdale objects, saying that such proposal is premature. In late July to early August, the extended stay trustee filed court papers asking the bankruptcy court to send 4 of the lawsuits he filed to the district court and 1 to the state court. The motions to withdraw reference are based largely on the U.S. Supreme Court's June 2011 decision in Stern v. Marshall. On August 12th, the litigation trustee served an amended complaint in the Lightstone case, adding 4 more defendants: Gramercy Warehouse Funding IV, LLC, J.P. Morgan Clearing Corp., Merrill Lynch & Company, Incorporated, and S.L. Green Funding, LLC. Extended Stay operates more than 680 long-term lodging properties in 44 states. An investor group, which included Blackstone, bought the business through the Chapter 11 plan for $3.93 billion in cash. The plan was implemented in October. Extended Stay's Chapter 11 petition in June 2011 listed assets of $7.1 billion against debt totaling $7.6 billion. In Washington Mutual, Judge Mary Walrath on August 24th heard and weighed in closing arguments of creditors and shareholders on the company's $7 billion bankruptcy plan. At the August 24th hearing, shareholders repeated accusations that WaMu's bankruptcy was tainted by insider trading. Shareholders have accused 4 hedge funds, Appaloosa Management LP, Centerbridge Partners LP, Owl Creek Asset Management LP, and Aurelius Capital Management of using confidential information they gained during the plan negotiations to generate profits in trading WaMu securities. WaMu and its supporters argue that creditors who stand to get nothing from the plan, specifically shareholders, are trying to hold the plan hostage with the insider trading allegations. Both sides already spent 2 weeks in July presenting evidence tied to the insider trader allegations. The WaMu plan is based on the settlement of billion-dollar lawsuits filed after the federal regulator seized WaMu's flagship bank in 2008 and sold its asset to J.P. Morgan Chase for $1.9 billion. The settlement between FDIC, WaMu, and J.P. Morgan, which is embodied in the plan, provides for the division of $10 billion in disputes assets and tax refunds. WaMu is allied with the hedge funds together with J.P. Morgan and FDIC in support of the plan and the settlement. Judge Walrath began the August 24th hearing saying she was a long way toward an opinion. During most of the closing arguments, the judge was generally silent, and after listening to the arguments for more than 9 hours, the judge ended the hearing without making a ruling. "Well, thanks to the parties," Judge Walrath said, "I'm not sure it brings me any closer to a decision." WaMu is the biggest bank failure in U.S. history, with the holding company listing $4.49 billion versus $7.83 billion in liabilities. J.P. Morgan acquired WaMu's banking unit in 2008 for $1.88 billion. In Tribune Company, a dispute arose out of a $13 billion leveraged buyout of the company in 2007 under Sam Zell's leadership. The LBO has been cited as a major reason for the Tribune's insolvency problems. Creditors and other interested parties have sought that the Tribune executives and leaders at the time of the LBO be held accountable for any fraudulent transfers in the LBO. Formal lawsuits were filed by Official Creditors Committee in late 2010, but the lawsuits have been stayed pending confirmation of Chapter 11 plan. 2 companies' plans have been filed in the case. 1 plan is backed by Tribune, J.P. Morgan, and other LBO lenders. The other plan is backed by Aurelius Capital Management and other note holders. The J.P. Morgan plan provides for the releases of lender lawsuits, but not possible suits against the Tribune executives, while the Aurelius plan calls for litigation of the LBO-related transaction. As of August 26, 2011, Judge Kevin J. Carey of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware declined to comment on when he intends to rule on the plans. The creditor committees continues to file requests for documentations in the lawsuits and is serving subpoenas to stock orders who participated in a 2007 stock buyout. The creditors committee may sue those shareholders that participated in the 2007 stock buyback to recover some money. In Ambec Financial Group, the company sued the Internal Revenue Service over $7 billion in net operating losses and the more than $1.5 billion in claims filed by the IRS against Ambec for back taxes. Ambec and the IRS continue to mediate the outstanding issues between them, including Ambec's objection to the IRS $800 million in tax claims. The parties had until September 9th to complete the fact discovery and until September 23rd to file depositive motions. Bankruptcy Judge Shirley Chapman in New York will consider Ambec's objection to the IRS claim on October 5th, 2011. In light of the pending negotiations, the hearing on the disclosure statement accompanying Ambec's Chapter 11 plan of reorganization has been rescheduled to October 5th, 2011. The Troubled Company Reporter provides detailed reporting about every Chapter 11 filing nationwide. Stay tuned to learn more about obtaining a trial subscription to the TCR at no cost or obligation. Julianne Lopez reports about six Chapter 11 debtors whose emergence from Chapter 11 has been delayed. Tribune Company, W.R. Grace & Company, Lehman Brothers, Washington Mutual, Pittsburgh Corning, and Quigley. In Tribune, the company's chief restructuring officer, Donald Liebentritt, made an unusual appearance in Delaware court on August 25, 2011, to inquire about the resolution of the company's Chapter 11 cases. But Judge Kevin Carey had little response on when he intends to rule on the reorganization plan. Judge Carey said that he had found that locking himself into a deadline never works out well for anyone. Mr. Liebentritt told the judge, "If there's anything you can do to provide to me that I might take back to the rank and file at Tribune Company, that would be appreciated." Judge Carey acknowledged that he understood that Tribune employees and business partners would like to know when he might offer a solution to the stalemate between the two creditor groups with competing Chapter 11 plans. The bankruptcy judge stated that his law clerk is spending 90% of his time on the case, which has also taken up plenty of his own time and that of an intern. "What you could tell the people is that I'm working very hard," Judge Carey told the CRO at the hearing, "and while you can't see the use of judicial resources being put at this matter, they are being put on the matter," he added. Prior to this, Tribune sought court authority to implement proposed changes to the official confirmation trial transcript regarding the competing Chapter 11 plans. Tribune's Chapter 11 reorganization began in December of 2008. The wait for W.R. Grace and Company to leave bankruptcy protection may be delayed a little longer after its bid to acquire new assets was rejected in an auction last month. Grace's reorganization plan was approved in January this year by Judge Judith Fitzgerald, but it is still awaiting final approval from Judge Ronald Buckwalter of the Delaware District Court. While under bankruptcy protection for more than a decade, Grace has bought and sold assets, needing court permission each time. The most recent approval to bid in a secret auction for undisclosed assets from another company was considered a potential final move before leaving bankruptcy protection. The final documents used to gain bidding approval by Judge Fitzgerald were sealed under the court order. Should it win final approval to leave protection, Grace said it plans to pay creditors in full and set up a trust fund to pay victims of asbestos-related diseases. Grace, which operates the Creosol asbestos mines in Libby, Montana for decades, filed for Chapter 11 reorganization in 2001 to protect itself from more than 100,000 personal injury claims. Lehman Brothers and its affiliated debtors are now a step closer to emerging from bankruptcy protection after getting court approval of an outline of their Chapter 11 plan. In a 23-page order dated August 30, 2011, Judge James Peck approved the disclosure statement, which outlines the major provisions of Lehman's $65 billion liquidation plan. Judge Peck held that the disclosure statement contains adequate information for creditors to decide on whether to support the proposed plan. The bankruptcy judge overruled all objections to the disclosure statement that have not been withdrawn or settled, and those will be considered at the hearing on the confirmation of the plan scheduled for December 6, 2011. Lehman was also given the go signal to begin the solicitation of votes from creditors on September 23, 2011. The company needs to obtain a majority of votes accepting the plan and a court-ordered confirming the plan to finally emerge from bankruptcy protection. Creditors entitled to vote have until November 4, 2011 to cast their ballots. They are required to follow a process governing solicitation of votes, which Judge Peck also approved in his August 30th order. The effective date for emergence from bankruptcy protection and the distributions to creditors will take place following confirmation of the plan. In approving the plan outline, Judge Peck said Lehman's success in getting to that stage in the case borders on miraculous. Heroic efforts have achieved a very important transition point in the case. Lehman revised the disclosure statement in light of the settlement it entered into with Lehman Brothers Treasury Company, BV's trustees, and with its affiliates in Singapore. Lehman also added a new provision clarifying that the disclosure statement and the proposed plan do not affect the validity or classification of the claims in the sum of $19 billion filed by Fannie Mae against the company. They do not also affect the right of Fannie Mae to assert that some portions of its claim must be treated as priority claims based on the rights, powers, and privileges of the Federal Housing Finance Agency in its capacity as Fannie Mae conservator. The revised disclosure statement provides that the committee overseeing the fees and expenses of Lehman's professionals will continue to exist after the effective date of the plan. Lehman will pay the fees and expenses of the independent member and counsel retained by the committee. Lehman has been in bankruptcy since September 15, 2008. Judge Mary Walrath indicated in August that the creditors may not have to wait long to find out whether she will confirm Washington Mutual Incorporated's $7 billion Chapter 11 plan. "I'm a long way towards issuing a decision," Judge Walrath said at the start of the session in which she will hear a final debate over the plan. The remark is a welcome news to creditors who expect to rake in the cash and who have been clamoring for speed in the case that began nearly 3 years ago. Washington Mutual's first bid to exit bankruptcy failed earlier this year when Judge Walrath rejected the Chapter 11 plan for assorted defects. The company said the problems have been fixed and the plan should be approved as a reasonable way out of the legal wreckage left behind when it lost Washington Mutual Bank, or WaMu, to the regulatory seizure. Creditors of the debtors have waited nearly 3 years for any recovery, Fred Hodora, Esquire, attorney for the Official Committee of Unsecured Creditors, said at the hearing in U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Wilmington, Delaware. He is with Akin Gump, Strauss, Hauer, and Feld. Shareholders and others being left out in the cold under the Chapter 11 plan are mustering their final argument in the last-ditch effort to defeat it. They said Washington Mutual settled valuable claims related to WaMu for just enough to pay creditors, leaving billions of dollars of damages on the table. Cash has accumulated in the Chapter 11 coffers as tax refunds stacked up, thanks to a new law that allows WaMu's former parent to make the most of its losses on the thrift. In the meantime, WaMu's former parent hammered out a settlement with regulators and WaMu's new owner, J.P. Morgan Chase. The PAC splits up the tax refunds and other assets among J.P. Morgan, Washington Mutual, and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which is the receiver for WaMu's creditors. It forms the base of Chapter 11 plan that is awaiting confirmation. WAMU's plan promises creditors at the top of the heap payment in full at a generous contract rate of interest. Some of the company's most powerful hedge funds, including Aurelius Capital Management, Centerbridge Partners, Appaloosa Management, and Owl Creek Asset Management, will rake in big profits on the WAMU Mutual holdings if the plan is confirmed. Delay has been taking an estimated $40 billion per month out of the recovery promised to the lowest-ranking creditors in WAMU's bankruptcy case, a group that also includes hedge funds. Shareholders are being shut out of any recovery along with some other holders of securities that are classified as equity. The official committee that represents shareholders is pushing to sue some of the hedge funds for allegedly misusing confidential inside information for profit. The hedge funds denied insider trading and said they played by the rules during the months of on-again-off-again negotiations that finally produced the Chapter 11 plan. WAMU filed for bankruptcy on September 26, 2008, the day after its bank unit was taken over by regulators and sold to J.P. Morgan for $1.9 billion. On June 16, 2011, federal bankruptcy judge rejected a third plan to reorganize Pittsburgh Corning Corporation, a local joint venture of PPG Industries Incorporated and Corning Incorporated, that went bankrupt in 2000 under asbestos-related claims. Judge Judith Fitzgerald denied approval of the reorganization plan filed in January of 2009, saying any acceptable plan must, at a minimum, clarify a proposed method of handling those claims. Judge Fitzgerald set a status conference in July to consider additional steps in the case, including potential modifications to the reorganization plan. Between 1962 and 1972, Pittsburgh Corning manufactured pipe insulation that contained asbestos. At least 140,000 lawsuits have been filed related to the product, and the litigation pushed the company into Chapter 11 bankruptcy. PPG and Corning have co-owned the joint venture since 1937. PPG had developed a reorganization plan in response to Judge Fitzgerald's 2006 decision to disallow PPG from establishing a trust to pay asbestos claims. PPG's obligation to the trust would have consisted of cash payments totaling $825 million paid over 15 years. In addition to PPG, would contribute $1.4 million shares of PPG stock or the cash equivalent and PPG shares of Pittsburgh Corning and Pittsburgh Corning Europe. Judge Fitzgerald rejected the initial plan for the trust because it included asbestos cases not related to Pittsburgh Corning. The latest reorganization plan had the support of the Asbestos Claimants Committee and of the future claimants' representative. Bankruptcy court filings showing that Pittsburgh Corning had about $87 million cash on hand at the end of May. An ominous hearing in the case is scheduled for September 20th. No further updates are available. There have been no updates regarding Quigley Chapter 11 case in the last 30 days. A hearing on a request to dismiss Quigley's bankruptcy or approve proposed terms of its reorganization set for August 4th was adjourned without being rescheduled, according to court papers. Quigley Company, founded in 1916, made three products for the steel industry from the 1940s to the 1970s that contained asbestos. Pfizer bought Quigley in 1968, and the company stopped most operations in 1992. Judge Stuart Bernstein refused to allow Quigley to exit Chapter 11 court protection in September last year, saying Pfizer had manipulated the process to benefit itself. Early in the year, Pfizer and a committee of asbestos claimants won the judge's approval of an agreement that will support the new Chapter 11 plan. That plan, however, still requires court approval. Psych Marikon Castilian reports about six companies that issued or will issue shares of new common stock upon emergence pursuant to the plans of reorganization they filed in their Chapter 11 cases in August 2011. These are Harry and David's, Sabaro, Local Insight Media, Carib Media, Capmark Financial, and Tubo de Paste. Judge Mary Walhearth of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware approved the reorganization plan of Medford-based gourmet food and gift retailer Harry & David's, paving the way for the company to exit Chapter 11. Under the plan, senior noteholders will get control of the company in exchange for canceling more than $200 million in debt. The majority of those bondholders are connected with private equity firm Wasserstein & Company or its clients. The company obtained court approval of a $155 million debtor-in-possession financing along with a $100 million exit financing from UBS AG and a plan to backstop with $55 million in new equity. Exiting noteholders will buy shares at $75 each when the plan takes effect. The plan resolved the objection of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp over the classification of its claim. Under the plan, PBGC will get a claim of $36 million and in return won't appeal Judge Walrath's decision to terminate the pensions of more than 2,700 past and present employees. The PBGC claims will get the same cash treatment as unsecured claims. Unsecured creditors supporting the plan, which will pay them 10% of their claims in cash, with 40% of that paid in 2012 and the rest in 2013. Before filing, the company reached agreement on a reorganization plan with holders of 81% of the senior notes, including Wasserstein, which owns 63% of the stock. Melville, New York-based pizza chain Sbarro's Incorporated filed a joint plan of reorganization to reduce its debt by approximately 73%, or $295 million, from approximately $405 million to $110 million, plus any amounts funded under new money term loan by converting 100% of the outstanding amount of the $35 million post-petition DIP financing into an equal amount of newly issued $110 million senior secured exit term loan facility, converting approximately $173 million in pre-petition senior secured debt held by the company's pre-petition first lien lender into the remaining exit term loan facility and 100% of the common equity of the reorganized company, subject to the dilution by shares issued under a management equity plan and eliminating all other outstanding debt. Under emergence from Chapter 11, Sbarro's pre-petition first lien lenders would own substantially all of the company's equity. Certain of the company's pre-petition first lien lenders have also committed, subject to the satisfaction of certain conditions, to provide Sbarro's with an $18.6 million new money term loan facility to be used for general corporate and working capital needs following emergence, which will provide the company with sufficient liquidity at emergence. In addition, the company expects to generate additional cash from operations through the end of the year. A hearing to consider approval of the disclosure statement for the proposed plan was scheduled for September 7, 2011. Local Insight Media Holding Incorporated, owner of Moraine-based The Berry Company, plans to emerge from bankruptcy in the fourth quarter of this year. Local Insight said it will emerge with a new credit facility and total debt reduction by more than 90%. Under the joint plan of reorganization, the company plans to exchange senior secured debt for equity in reorganized company. Carib Media Incorporated, a publisher of directories in Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic, filed for reorganization plan giving control of the company to its lenders. Senior secured lenders owed about $127 million would get all of the reorganized company's equity and share in a $55 million exit loan, according to the plan filed in Delaware. The lenders are projected to receive a recovery of 79 to 95 cents on the dollar. Subordinated noteholders owed about $58.5 million won't receive any recovery under the plan. Capmark Financial Group Incorporated, the commercial lender once a part of General Motors Corp., won court approval to exit bankruptcy by giving creditors cash, stock, and new debt worth a total of almost $4 billion. Judge Kevin Gross of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware said he would sign an order approving the plan after minor wording changes are made to the document. After almost 2 years in bankruptcy, the company will reorganize around its Utah-based bank and will be owned by creditors, including unsecured noteholders and lenders. Those creditors voted overwhelmingly in favor of the plan. Under the plan, creditors will split $900 million in cash, new debt securities of $1.25 billion in stock in the reorganized company, estimated to be worth at about $1.83 billion. The company may implement the plan and may pay the creditors by September 30th. Capmark, based in Horsham, Pennsylvania, became partly owned by affiliates of New York-based Goldman Sachs Corp. Incorporated when the bank and the group of investors bought 78% of Capmark, then called GMAC Commercial Mortgage, in 2006 for $1.5 billion in cash and the repayment of $7.3 billion in debt. While in bankruptcy, Capmark sold its loan servicing unit to Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway Incorporated and Lucinda National Corporation in a deal valued at $468 million. The creditors committee also battled with Goldman Sachs over how to handle so-called insider preference claims, lawsuits sought brought against company insiders, including equity holders accused of wrongly taking money from the company in the months before the bankruptcy filing. The right to file any insider claims passes to the new company under the plan. Tubo de Pasaje, South America, a unit copper tubing maker Industries, Unidas South America, won court approval of its bankruptcy restructuring plan, paying noteholders in full with new debt. Judge Kevin Carey of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware approved the company's plan to swap debt at a hearing. Creditors overwhelmingly supported the turnaround plan, which didn't receive any objections at the hearing. Holders of $200 million in 11.5% notes will get new Series A notes at the same amount plus interest, which will be secured by the stock of Tubo's U.S. unit, Cambridge Lee Holdings Incorporated. Tubo entered into bankruptcy after defaulting on the 11.5% notes following a slowdown in construction and a surge in copper prices, according to the court's documents. Industrias Unidas, known as IUSA, issued the notes, which were secured by a pledge of Cambridge Lee stock. Mexico City-based IUSA didn't file for bankruptcy. Under the plan, lenders that extended about $803,000 of credit will share in the Series A notes. Holders of more than $145 million in so-called copper debt notes and holders of $24.5 million of commercial paper will get unsecured Series B notes in exchange for their claims. The company will reinstate about $39.8 million in debt owed on a Bank of America corporate loan, as well as about $62.3 million owed on a General Electric Capital Corporation loan. That ends the Baird Group Corporate Restructuring Review for August 2011, brought to you by the editors of the Troubled Company Reporter and a Troubled Company Prospector. If you'd like to receive the Troubled Company Reporter for 30 days at no cost and with no strings attached, call Nina Novak at 240-629-3300 or visit bankrupt.com/free trial and we'll add you to the distribution list. That telephone number again is 240-629-3300 and that web address, again, bankrupt.com/free trial. Tune in to our next monthly restructuring review on October 16th. Thank you for listening. We are closing the test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, trying to get an idea how long we are right now. This is a test, testing 1, 2, 3, get ready to close or close, testing 1, 2, 3. We are still on a test, closing the test, 1, 2.